Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Wednesday, June 1st. We begin today's readings with Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 44. Then we'll move on to Psalm 6, and we'll finish up with 2 Corinthians 1, 23 through chapter 2 and verse 11. In Leviticus 23, we pick up talking about the different festivals of the year in the Jewish calendar. As we think about the different Jewish festivals and celebrations, I want to remind us of the ones that we discussed yesterday, and then we'll talk about what is to come in today's reading. So, the Israelites were instructed to celebrate the Sabbath each week, the Passover, which reminded them of their deliverance from Egypt, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or maybe that was part of the Passover, then the Feast of First Fruits, which was to remember the first harvest, and then the Festival of Weeks, or as we know it, Pentecost, and this is when the full harvest would come in. So these are all celebrations of God's sustenance. Today, we will talk about the Festival of Trumpets. This is joy in God's goodness. And then the Day of Atonement, and the meaning of this festival is for the atonement from sin. Finally, we'll talk about the Festival of Booths, or the Feast of Tabernacles, as it is called. And this is a reminder of God's provision in the wilderness, and also all of these festivals point us to our Lord Christ. Let's think about the Day of Atonement first. The Day of Atonement was a day when, remember, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies where the mercy seat of the Lord was, and he would take in an offering on that day and atone for the sins of the people for that year. Jesus Christ died an atoning death for us, but it was once and for all. And then with the Feast of Booths, or the Festival of Tabernacles, whatever you want to call it, this provision in the wilderness was a reminder for them, but we see it as Christ's provision for us. And in one of my classes in seminary, we did a deep dive into the book of John. And in John chapter 7 and 8, Jesus is present at this Feast of Tabernacles. And there are several different things that go on in this festival. You should go read about it. They would have a water pouring ceremony, and they would also light these huge lamps to remind the people that God provided water in the desert, in the wilderness, and also that God provided light, the fire of the Lord that led the way in the wilderness. And in this festival, the Lord Jesus says these two things: I am the living water. So he provides for us. And also, I am the light of the world. And so in these ways, he is just confirming for us that what was spoken of in these festivals is pointing forward to his fulfillment as Messiah and Lord. Let's begin with Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of Sabbath rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blast. Do no regular work, but present a food offering to the Lord." The Lord said to Moses, "The tenth day of the seventh month is a day of atonement. Hold a sacred assembly and deny yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Do not do any work on that day because it is the day of atonement, when atonement is made for you before the Lord your God. Those who do not deny themselves on that day must be cut off from their people. I will destroy from among their people anyone who does any work on that day. You shall do no work at all. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. It is a day of Sabbath rest for you, and you must deny yourselves. From the evening of the ninth day of the month until the following evening, you are to observe your Sabbath. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord, the burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbaths, and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the freewill offerings you give to the Lord. So begin with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land. Celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the eighth day also is a day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed festivals of the Lord. And now from the Psalms we'll be reading number 6. For the director of music, with stringed instruments, according to Sheminith, a psalm of David. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be overwhelmed with shame and anguish. They will turn back and suddenly be put to shame. As we move over to the New Testament, we're going to be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 23, and we'll go through chapter 2 and verse 11. The letter to the Corinthians today mentions another letter. Some scholars believe that there are up to 4 letters that were written to the Corinthians, and several of them have been lost in history. My study Bible says this: in this letter, Paul exemplified how to handle discipline in a godly manner and to address the issues that cause sorrow, hoping the result will be joy. Discipline may cause affliction and anguish of heart, but its purpose is always restoration. This is the goal that demonstrates love. So inevitably something was going on, and Paul had addressed it in another letter, and this letter now follows up on the conversation. I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy. Because it is by faith you stand firm. So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved. I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I would not be distressed by those who should have made me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you, that you would all share my joy. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. If anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Here in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds the people to forgive in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. I'll leave you with this final note from my NIV study Bible. If the church withheld forgiveness when the man was repentant, they would be playing into the hands of Satan, who cunningly tries to create disunity within the church. Will you pray with me? Father of lights, the giver of living water, the one who provides sustenance for all, remind us of your constant care through the remembrance of the festivals and through the psalms which cry out to you. As we read 2 Corinthians, we're reminded that we must forgive one another. Help us, Lord. Do not allow unforgiveness to be a part of our fellowship, because this will lead to disunity. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to do your work of renewal in our world, as we long for the day that we are with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray all these things with hope, with faith, and with love. Amen.